Amen and amen. Well, before you're seated today, I have the wonderful honor and privilege of introducing to you all a speaker who's gone all over the world and has helped so many people be all that God has created them to be. And I know that today is going to be no different. His style is wonderful, so fitted for our church. And I know today you are going to be incredibly richly blessed. Would you help me welcome to the stage of Word of Life, Dr. Dave Martin? Let's give it up. It's good to have you, sir.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Hey, first thing I want you to do, point to yourself and say this. Say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. All right, now you know what we're going to say. I want you to say it like you really believe it. How many believe your life could get better? Yeah, I mean, if you believe the Bible, you can't help but believe that. I mean, John 10:10 said he came that you might have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. If you really believe that, one more time, just point to yourself, say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Now you can be seated. I'm gonna get you to say that as much as I can, because what you continually hear, you'll eventually believe. So if you keep saying the rest of your life will be the best of your life, pretty soon you'll start believing the rest of your life will be the best of your life. When you start believing the rest of your life will be the best of your life, the rest of your life will start becoming the best of your life. John 10:10, that he came that you might have and enjoy. I love that part. In the Amplified, it says that you may not just have life, but you may enjoy it. How many want to enjoy your life? I mean, not just when you get to heaven, while you're here. You want to enjoy life while you're here. Life is a gift. I love talking about life as a gift because I love gifts. How many like getting gifts? Yeah, how many like giving gifts? How many like unwrapping gifts? Let me see your hand. I want to know who just tears the paper off. Let me see your hand. Who are the careful people now that take it off real slow? Because you can reuse the paper, right? If you're good, you can. I'm one of those who just rips the paper off. I can't wait to get in there and see what I got. I love getting gifts. I love giving gifts. And have you ever found a gift for someone just like the perfect gift? You're like, oh, they're going to love this. And you couldn't wait to give it to them because you'd picked it out just for them. And you wanted to see their face when they opened it because you know it was just perfect for them. How many know what I'm talking about? And you're like, here, open it. My anniversary was a few weeks ago, and my wife, she woke up. She goes, you know, today's our anniversary. I said, yeah, I know. And she said, I had a dream last night that you gave me a diamond necklace. She's like, what do you think that means? I said, you know what? When you open your presents, you're going to find out what it means. I gave her a gift. She was all excited. Man, she ripped the paper off that thing, and I'd gotten her this book on the meaning of dreams. I hope that helped her figure out what it meant, because I didn't have a clue. But when you give someone that perfect gift, that's kind of what God's done with this gift called life, is God picked it out just for you. That's why none of us are alike. I can't be you. You can't be me. This gift, God didn't go to Sam's or Costco, buy life in bulk, just give us all the same thing. That's why the other day someone said, Dave, you and me, man, we are just alike. I said, you know, if you and me are just alike, one of us is unnecessary. I'm going with you. No, none of us are alike. I can't be you. You can't be me. I can't be Pastor Joel. What good would it do for me to try to be him? God didn't create me to be him. God created him to be him. I'm not as handsome as him. I can't teach as good as him. Why? What good would it be for me to be him? How many love Pastor Joel, by the way? How many are thankful for your pastor? Man, I was telling, I think it was the last service, I was telling him, you know those people that's there's some people, the more you're around them, the more you just want to be around them. And he's one of those people. I mean, just his spirit, his faith, just him as a person is awesome. And you get to have him as your pastor every week. And having someone like that just believes in you, wants the best for you. How many love your church? I mean, thank you for your church. Man, just to see all that God's done and all God is doing and getting ready to do is just phenomenal. So I'm just honored to get to hang out with you guys this weekend. Pastor, I grew up in Mississippi, so this is my first time in 18 years to get to preach and get to speak in Mississippi. But all my family's from Meridian, and I grew up down near the coast, Ocean Springs. And so it's just awesome for me to be here and to be a part of this great church, Word of Life, what God's doing, and everything's just, I love Mississippi. I love it. Everything's great. The pillows are great at the hotel. I don't know, Mississippi pillows are fluffier or something. I don't know. I could barely fit that one in my suitcase. It was so fluffy. I got on the elevator last night. This lady got in the elevator with me. She looked at me. She goes, "You know, you look just like my third husband." I was like, "Wow, welcome to Mississippi." You know, I was like, "How many times have you been married?" She looked at me. She said, "Twice." Anyway, I was feeling pretty good about myself after that. But anyway, it's an honor to be here. And so here's this. I can't be Pastor Joel. I got to be me. I can't be T.D. Jakes. I wish I could preach like, get ready. You know, kick something. That's just awesome, but I can't do that. I can't be Joel Osteen. Amen. Every day's Friday. You know, I love Joel, but I can't be Joel. I got to be who God created me to be. I got to unwrap my gift. Like I said, I can't think of anything worse than getting a gift and not enjoying it. A couple of Christmases ago, I bought my mother-in-law a gift for Christmas. I got her a cemetery plot. And so I guess my mother-in-law. Anyway, I didn't get her anything last year. She was all mad at me. "You know, you didn't give me anything for Christmas this year." I'm like, "You didn't even use what I got you last year. Yeah. Anyway, you got to enjoy life. Life was meant to be enjoyed. So how do you unwrap this gift called life? I want to talk to you about that for the next few minutes here. We're talking about In God We Trust. It's a new series that we're doing here at church, putting our trust and confidence in God. You got to trust God with your family. You got to trust God with your health. You got to trust God with your finances. In every area of our life, I've decided in every area of my life and my family that we're going to put our trust in God. I'm going to trust His word to do what He said that He would. How many believe the Bible? Let me see your hand again. Yeah, that's people that trust God, that trust His word. How many have ever wondered, did God really write all that? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. Be honest. You won't go to hell or anything. Let me see your hand if you've ever. Yeah, quite a few people. I've wondered before, and I've been in church my whole life. My dad's a preacher. My grandfather's a preacher. I mean, did God really write all this stuff? There's a lot of stuff in there. I started thinking one day, if God didn't write it, who did? Someone had to have done it. So if it wasn't God, I got to find out who did it. Maybe it was my Uncle Tony. He don't do a lot. And I found that scripture, if you don't work, you don't eat. I'm like, nope, Uncle Tony didn't write this. If you just start thinking of people you know, maybe it was my wife. Submit to your, nope, wasn't her. How many, be honest, how many of you that wrote the Bible, how many think of like three things you would not have put in there? Right? There'd be like 8 commandments. Tithing would have been lower than 10%. How about 5%? Here's what I know. No human being could have ever wrote a standard this high. So if God said it, I'm just crazy enough to believe it. And He said, I've come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly, to the full, till it overflows. I look at all these scriptures that God has good things in store for us. And I'm not saying life's going to be perfect. How many thought when you became a Christian, life would be perfect? Anybody think that? Couple people, yeah. How many found out like by the time you got to the parking lot, that wasn't true? The Bible even promises us that in John 16:33. In the world you will have trials, tribulation, distress, frustration. Awesome. Just wanted to encourage you a little bit. It's, you know, in the world we're gonna go through things. How many have ever been on an airplane that hit turbulence? Okay, what did you do when the airplane hit turbulence? Prayed, someone prayed. Buckle up, held on. Let me ask you this. When the plane hit turbulence, did anybody get off? Like right then, like I'm out. This just, no, you can't get out. You got to just hold on, buckle up. You can't just quit. Same thing in life. How many have ever hit some turbulence in life? Things got a little bumpy in life. What do? Same thing. Pray, buckle up, hold on. You don't quit. You're like, I'm out. Life's too tough. I'm quitting. No, you can't do that. I was sitting next to a lady on the plane the other day, and she'd never flown before, and we were just talking for a few minutes. I'd never flown before. I'm like, it's fine. I'm on the plane. It's going to be okay. So we talked for a few minutes, and I sleep pretty quick, so I fell asleep. We took off. I mean, I'm out. About 20 minutes into the flight, we hit some turbulence. It started getting bumpy, and the plane started shaking. She starts hitting me. She goes, hey, wake up. I'm like, huh, what? She's like, do something. I was like, what do you want me to do? She goes, aren't you like a preacher? I said, I'm like a preacher. I'm not like a pilot. She's like, I don't know. She goes, just do something religious. So I got up and took an offering. I thought that'd be good. But, yeah. In the world you have trials, but it says right after that, but be of good cheer. He said, look, lighten up, be of good cheer. You know what's amazing? Medical science is now echoing what the Bible said 2,000 years ago, that laughter is like a medicine. My doctor actually prescribes laughter. I said, do this, give me 5 belly laughs every day. He said, 1 20-second belly laugh is like 3 minutes of aerobic exercise. Think about that. 5 belly laughs, that's like 15 minutes on the treadmill. You know, if you get a piece of that strawberry cake and then laugh the whole way home, it'll just all balance right out. It'll just be perfect, you know, you just. But here in the Word of God, it says, look at the scripture in Luke chapter 2. Look at the scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. I love this scripture. And because it talks about Jesus. I love any scripture that talks about Jesus. Because I love Jesus. And I think anything Jesus is doing, I'm going to try to do. So if it's working for Jesus, and if he had to do it, I figure I need to do it. And it says, first of all, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the first thing it says is Jesus increased. So if Jesus is increasing, I think I want to increase. Increase, and the very first command God gave humans was be fruitful and multiply. Multiply means to increase. So the very first thing God even said was be more than you are right now. How many like to be happier than you are right now? How many like to be healthier than you are right now? How many like to have more love in your home, more joy? How many like to see more people get saved here at Word of Life? More healings take place. Yeah, how many like to have more money than you have right now? It's okay, you can do it. I don't know, money, that's the root of all evil. Well, that's not what the Bible says, is it? It says the love of money, right? Money is the root of good vacations. The other day, someone said, you know, money's not the key to happiness. I'm like, that's true, but if you got enough money, maybe you could get a key made. Money's not even supposed to make you happy. The Bible said in God's presence is where you find joy. It has nothing to do with money. All money is a tool. Just a tool. It's like a hammer. I don't have a good hammer or a bad hammer. I got a hammer. What I do with the hammer makes it good or evil, right? I can take a hammer and I can build a beautiful church like this to worship God in. Man, I did something great with the hammer. Same exact hammer I could hit someone with and hurt them really bad. So with the same tool, I choose to use it for good or to use it for evil. Same with my resources, my finances. I can use it to build God's house or I can use it for my own selfish gain. I mean, we got this farther, faster, and all the amazing thing that God's doing at our church is we're growing. We got the next phase. This is all amazing and exciting, and we got to raise a few million dollars. I mean, how many would like to be able to say, hey, Pastor, put me down for $100,000? Oh, yes. How many like to be able? It's not a pledge. I'm just asking right now, okay? People all nervous. They're like, is this a? How many like to be able to do that? Of course, we all like to be able to do that because our heart is to give. We can't help it. It's the way God made us. God made us to be like him. And my goodness, if anybody was a giver, he was. He loved you so much that he gave. Gave is what? Yeah, not just any son. His only. Yeah, he gave his own. Think about that. He didn't have three sons. He's like, man, take the second one. Oh, we've had it with that one. That one just, he gave his own. He gave his very best for us. So why would I not give my very best back to him? Heard about a church, got a phone call, and the receptionist answered the phone. The guy said, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. The receptionist said, excuse me, do you mean our pastor? He said, yep, that's what I'm talking about, the head hog at the trough. She goes, that's rude, that's our pastor. We respect him, we honor him, we appreciate him. We don't speak about him like that. Can I help you with something? The guy said, yeah, I heard about the new building you guys are building up at the church. I just wanted to give $100,000. She said, hold on, let me see if Porky's in. The more blessed we are, the greater blessing we can be. Say that when we say, I'm blessed, to be a blessing. See, when you get that right, people said, don't you ever worry you might become greedy? I had a family member said, I'm afraid if I had $1 million, I'd be greedy. I'm like, that's because you're greedy now. Because if you're greedy with 100, you'd be greedy with 1,000,000. If you're a giver with 100, man, think what you could do with more. So God put giving in the system to cure us from greed. So I've decided in God, my family will trust. In God, we trust. I trust him with my family. I trust him with my relationship. I trust him with my health. I trust him with my business. I trust him with my finances. In every area of my life, I've decided to put my trust in him because I trust his word. And if I trust his word, I can see that Jesus increased. So if Jesus is increasing, look in the New Testament. He doesn't even like things that don't increase. It didn't matter if it was a fig tree that wasn't producing fruit. He cursed it. Or a man who wasn't producing, wasn't multiplying his talent. God is into increase. God is into us becoming more. And he increased, well, let's see, the first thing it says he increased in, Jesus increased in wisdom. Now, I'm figuring if Jesus needs to get smarter, I definitely need to get smarter. If Jesus needed more wisdom, I definitely am going to need wisdom. Here's the thing about wisdom. I'm going to make this real simple. Three things I want you to get today. A, B, C. Pretty simple. I'm a pretty simple guy. A, B, C. So if you're taking notes, just write these A, B, C's down. A, acquire wisdom. Pretty simple. Get smarter than you are right now. The Bible says that a wise man will increase in learning. I think the only problem you'll really ever have in life is a wisdom problem. You don't really have financial problems. You just have some wisdom problems. You don't really have health problems. A lot of times you have wisdom problems. A lot of times you don't have marriage problems. It's just some wisdom problems. I have found this, that the more wisdom you have, the less miracles you'll need. A lot of people are just waiting for a miracle. When if they'd have got wisdom, they'd have never ended up in the position they were in. How many have ever made the statement, man, if I knew back then what I know now? Yeah, we've all made that statement. That's what I'm saying. The Bible even said that. Getting wisdom is like sharpening your axe. It makes life a whole lot easier. So if I could go back, man, if I knew back then, I can think of things in my marriage. Man, if my wife would have just had the wisdom that she needed. How many married people are in here? Married people. How many married people, you and your spouse are totally different? How many have needed wisdom just to make it this far? Yeah, my wife and I, night and day different. She's from New York, I'm from Mississippi. You got a picture of my wife and son. I think they got a picture of them so you can see what I'm talking about. That's my wife. She's the one on the right. Her name's Christine. My little boy is Solomon. He's on the left there. But my wife and I, night and day different. Like I said, she's from New York. I'm from Mississippi. Different. She's a northerner. I'm a southerner. Different. She grew up wealthy. We grew up poor. Different. We thought you're supposed to be poor because poor people go to heaven. That's what they told us growing up, and we did everything we could to stay broke. My dad used to tell us if the ice cream truck was playing music, that meant they were out. That's bad. And so we had to learn, we needed wisdom. We needed to learn how to work this thing out. We weren't alike. There's all kind of wisdom for relationships. Single people, there's even good wisdom. There's even good pickup lines in the Bible if you need them. I love that. The Bible has, like the other day I was reading the book of Numbers. And I realize I don't have yours. It's a Christian pickup line. See? It's right there in the. Like, hey, girl, I think you got one of my ribs. Okay, so acquire wisdom. And like I said, there's wisdom for every area of our life. Remember this one thing. If you want tomorrow to be different than today, you've got to learn something today in order to make tomorrow different. See, if you go into tomorrow with the same information you have today, you won't have a tomorrow, you'll just have a longer today. So I try to learn something every day. How many want the rest of this year to be better than the first part of this year? Yeah. Of course we all want the rest of this year to be better than the first part of the year. So what are we gonna do different the rest of the year? Because if we do the same thing the rest of this year we did the first part of the year, it's gonna end up just the same. So I wanna learn something. And the Bible says in Proverbs 1 that a wise person would increase in learning. How many like to be doing better than you're doing right now? Okay, if you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, all that means is there's something you don't know. If you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, it means there's something you don't know. When I heard that, I went from being a know-it-all to being a learn-it-all. Obviously, there were some things I didn't know. So I had to get wisdom, I had to get information. I started buying books. What don't I know? I try to learn something every single day. If I can learn something, sometimes it may be little, but if I can learn something, I learned that if your airbag deploys, it costs $500 to put an airbag back. I had no idea, I never really even thought about it, but I was looking at this car, and they were telling me one of the benefits of this car was you could turn the passenger side off, you know, because if no one's with you, and the airbag deploys, you still have to pay $500. So one of the benefits of this car was the airbag could turn off. I actually started thinking about the people who were riding with me. That's $500. I don't know. Anyway, I learned not everybody spells their name the same. You know, I was signing books today and back in the last service. And Cheryl, is that with an S or with a C? You know, there's a couple ways to spell. Erica, E-I-R-K-A or C-A, you know. So there's all kind of ways to spell names. Amy, there's like five ways to spell Amy. That's a simple name. There's a new girl at Starbucks the other day, and I was just kidding with her because she had a little trainee badge on. And I'm like, that's funny. Your mom named you trainee. She looked at me, she said, it's Trine. How would I have known that? You see what I'm saying? There's just no way. So there's always something to learn. There's always something to learn. So whatever you do, get wisdom. Proverbs 2 says that the Lord would grant you a spirit of wisdom. Proverbs 3 says wisdom is more valuable than silver. It's more profitable than gold. It's more precious than rubies. It starts telling us how valuable wisdom is. Proverbs 4 says, hey, whatever you do, get wisdom. Whatever you do, get wisdom. That's why you go to my house. I got 4,000 books, thousands of CDs, DVDs. I can't get enough wisdom. The difference between where I am and where I want to be is what I know. So the Bible says, hey, whatever you do, get wisdom. Get wisdom. It makes all the difference in the world. How do you get wisdom? Three ways you can get it. Number one, you can get it from mistakes. By the way, that's the slowest way to get it. You can get it from someone else's mistakes. That's called mentorship. How many would rather get your wisdom from Pastor Joel's mistakes? Yeah, but if we can learn from his mistakes, boy, that would save us a whole lot of time. So God puts mentors in our life to help us not have to make the same mistakes. I called one of my mentors the other day. I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? He said, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I said, why not? I think that's a great idea. He said, yes, so did I. He'd already done it. Found out it didn't work. He just saved me a whole lot of time. So mentorship became my shortcut to success. People say there's no shortcut to success. That's not true. Find someone who's doing what you want to do and find out what steps you can skip because they don't work. Mentorship. The third way to get wisdom is money. You can buy it. That's the quickest way to get it, by the way. I can go to the bookstore. What took a man his entire lifetime to figure out, I can learn in 3 hours for $20 by buying a book. I'd be crazy not to buy wisdom. So there's wisdom for every area of your life. And whatever you do, the Bible says, get it. I was at a meeting with a guy named Peter J. Daniels, wealthy businessman from Australia. I'd spent about $3,000 to go to a seminar. I was in my 20s, late 20s, mid to late 20s, and I spent about $3,000 to go to a seminar. While I'm there, he's teaching. He's doing better than I'm doing, so obviously he knows something I don't know. So I'm writing down everything I can. At the end, he goes, I got some books and CDs. I want you to make yourself available to those to keep the information coming. And he tells us what's in the back. So I said to my friend, I said, let's go. I'm going to get that stuff. He knows something we don't know. And I ran back to the table. I said, I want everything on the table. They said, you want everything? I said, everything. They said, if you buy everything, it'll be about $1,600. I had no idea he knew that much stuff. $1,600. I'm like, my friend said, you're not getting it, are you? I said, you know what? I am getting it. The Bible said wisdom is more valuable than silver. It's more profitable than gold. It's more precious than rubies. And I'm thinking $1,600 is cheaper than all that, so I'll take it. My friend said, you're crazy. You think it's worth it? I said, you know what? I think I'm worth it. I don't buy a book because I think the paper's worth it. I buy because I think I'm worth it. I mean, if I don't think I'm worth $20, why would somebody else think I'm worth $20? So I bought it all, started listening to it. Man, I got a lot of good ideas. Then I got this one really great idea. The billionaire, Texas billionaire Ross Perot said, all it takes is one good idea to live like a king the rest of your life. Just one good idea. I got one idea. I put the idea together. I got a lot of good stuff to use, but this one idea, I sold the idea. Within about 8 months, this idea produced me a little over $300,000. Say, praise the Lord. Why are y'all so jealous of my blessings? Why? You'd be happier if it was your $300,000. How many would be happy if it was your idea that got $300,000? That's what I thought. How many would be happy if you just had an idea that got $50,000? How many just hope you have an idea? You're like, man, I hope I think of something. You always invest in what you find valuable. You always invest in what you find valuable. Like I said, three ways to see yourself. And you got to see yourself as valuable to invest in yourself. As long as you don't see yourself as valuable, you can see yourself the way other people see you. Maybe good, maybe not. What other people think about you is really none of your business. Quit sitting around worrying about what everyone else thinks about you all the time. Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. So quit worrying about everyone else. How you see yourself, you know, you want to have a good self-confidence. You want to be confident, but we all have things happen to us that could affect our self-esteem if we, you know, if we let it. I mean, people say things to us, do things to us. I mean, I can go back through my life and think of a lot of things. One time in high school, a girl broke up with me. She's like, "I'm breaking up with you. You got low self-esteem." I was like, "Great, that helped." Another time in high school, this girl called me. She goes, "Hey, come over to my house. Nobody's home." I went over there. There was nobody home. I just kept knocking. There's nobody there. That hurts. That's hurtful, you know. That's really damaging to your... The third way to see yourself is to see yourself the way God sees you. Now, if you could get a picture of yourself the way God sees you, man, that'd make all the difference in the world, because the picture God has of you is a picture of perfect success. I mean, God, he's already touched you up a little bit. God's got some mad Photoshop skills. You look good. And if you could see yourself the way God sees you, not just have a confidence in who you are, but a confidence in whose you are, man, that can make all the difference in the world. So whatever you do, acquire wisdom. The letter B. Believe it's God's will to prosper you. Believe it's God's will to prosper you. That's a big part, and it is the belief to really... How many believe God wants to bless your life, prosper you? Yeah, it's God's plan for you to do better, that the rest of your life will be the best of your life. You can read it all throughout the Bible. I mean, he said he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Commit your plans to me, I would cause them to succeed. Meditate on my word day and night. Don't just hear it, but do it. I'll make your way prosperous. You'll deal wisely and you'll have good success. So it starts with us believing that God does want to bless our life, that God does want to prosper us. As a person thinketh in their heart, never could see myself getting a house like that. Well, don't worry, you won't. I'd love to get a job like that. They'd never hire me there. You are absolutely right. Whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. So where's your belief? Where's your belief? It's God's plan and God's will to prosper you. And then the last letter, C. And by the way, for those that are into wisdom, acquiring wisdom like me, I've got a couple things back there. We only got a few of them left because the other services were into wisdom. Not sure about you guys yet. Just kidding. But we just got two things back there, and we kind of put it together in a package really to help you. But this is a book I wrote called The 12 Traits of the Greats. I took hundreds of hours and I studied great achievers, found there were common qualities in their life that caused them to be great. I took those 12 traits, I wrote them in a book called The 12 Traits of the Greats. It's one thing, I got, you know, 30, 40 minutes with you this morning. This just gives us time to really delve into this book, 12 Traits of the Greats. I put a workbook with it because that helps people. When you write stuff down, I'm better when I write stuff down, it helps me remember. There's 12 video sessions. I do a lot of coaching in the corporate arena. We do a lot of coaching with NBA, some of the different NBA players, and some of the teams with NASCAR, different business and corporations and things like that. But I can't sit down individually with each person and coach them. And so this just gives us a way to do that. And it's got 12 coaching videos. So 12 videos, a trait a week. You put in that video, I'll walk you through that trait, I'll coach you through that trait. You fill out the workbook, you'll do the book. And then there's 12 audio sessions you put in your car and just listen to them over and over and over till you get tired of hearing it. When you get tired of hearing it, listen to it a couple more times, because then you're just starting to get it. When you get sick and tired of hearing something, you're just starting to get it. So you got to hear it over and over. How many have ever watched a movie 5 times? How many saw things the 5th time you didn't see the first 4 times? So it's the same thing with learning. You got to do it over and over again. So that's all back there. Traits are things like responsibility. That's the first trait in the book. I put that first because most people can't get past that one. They like to blame other people for their problems. If you're ever going to be great, you got to quit blaming other people. How many want to be great, by the way? Might as well want to be. God wants you to be. He made you in his image. I want to be a great dad. I want to be a great husband, great lawyer, great mechanic, great bus driver, great doctor. Whatever it is you do, you want to be great at what you do. And so these traits will work in any arena of life. They're principles from the Word of God. What's amazing is there are ungodly men who will use these same godly principles. I'll show you in here where Jim Carrey, the actor, used one of these traits to achieve greatness in his acting career. Traced it back to Abraham. Abraham used it first. I'll show you where Winston Churchill used one of these in commanding his armies, that King David used, David in the Bible. All these traits were in the Bible. They're for us. Yet you've got ungodly men who are using godly principles to achieve ungodly results, while the church, we don't know these principles. We ignore them and wonder why we struggle. Anyway, I put them all together to help you. It's easy to blame other people. It's the government's fault. It's the economy's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my wife's fault. was getting my physical the other day. Doctor said, Dave, you need to lose 25 pounds. I'm like, that's Krispy Kreme's fault. I'm not the one that came up with that red light that flashes when they're hot. But driving by, that red light flashes, I blacked out. Like, what happened? I woke up in the back seat covered in glaze. I'm shaking. I'm like, how did I get here? Man. Trying to do good. And they got the strawberry cake out there in the cafe today. That stuff is good. Like, I saw someone walking by with it, Carrie. I'm like, my mind's telling me no. But my body's telling me yes. But I got to take responsibility. It's my decision to eat the donut that got me to where I am today, 25 pounds overweight. So my decision starting today, I'll probably start tomorrow because they still have some more of that cake. Yeah. So my goal this year, I'm going to lose 25 pounds. So what, here we are, July? We've got 30 to go. My wife, she said, honey, don't worry about it. You've got the body of a god. I was like, thank you, baby. She said, yeah, Buddha. So, anyway, all that stuff's back there. You get that whole 12 traits. I'm gonna give you a deal. If you'll invest in you, I'll invest in you. This is a brand new program we just came out with. How many have ever wished you could start over on something? Hit the reset button. If you're a golfer, have a mulligan. I put this together. It's called Another Shot. And we developed a game plan that goes with it. And really, I was doing some work. How many have ever heard of Kobe Bryant? Kobe Bryant, basketball player. 2014, Kobe Bryant set the record for the most missed shots in the history of the NBA. Most missed shots. 7 days later, he came back and he passed up Michael Jordan for the most points scored during his career. They said, how did you do it? He said, well, it was real simple. I just took another shot. He said, you can't let the fear of failure or the fear of criticism keep you from trying again. You just got to get back in the game. There's so much I could talk about with this, but I don't have time today. But I developed a 30-day program called the Game Plan that goes with Another Shot. It's Another Shot Game Plan. I have some great friends that join me for the 30 days every day. You end up at the end with a written plan of what to do next. Most important thing you can know is what to do next, whether it's a comeback or whether it's something you're starting from the beginning. What's the next thing I can do? When you finish this 30 days with me, you will have a written plan of what to do next. In here, you get the audio book. If you like to listen to books on tape, you got the audio book, all kind of great stuff in this whole coaching program here. And you get the book. And what I love about it is every time we sell one of these books, we give a book to an inmate who could really use another shot. So every time you get a copy of this book, someone else gets a copy given to them. So we get to help a lot of people together. I love what Evander Holyfield, the boxer, said about the book. And I just want to tell you this because of what he said, not because I'm like, hey, I know Evander Holyfield. I'm not trying to drop names. I'm just trying to say what he said about me in my book. I'm not a name dropper. But no, seriously, if there's one thing I've learned from all the time I've spent with Oprah, is never drop names. Evander Holyfield said this. He said, it's not getting knocked down that makes you lose the fight. It's not getting back up. We all get knocked down. We all get a punch we weren't expecting sometimes. But how do you get back up, get back in the game? Anyway, that's all back there. If you buy this coaching system, if you get this, and I'm going to give you a discount on this. If you went on my website and tried to buy these, or if you saw us at a corporate event, this would be about $700 worth of stuff for these two programs, the 90-day and the 30-day. This one sells for $400. This one sells for $300. What I'm going to do is, if you'll get this one, and I'm going to give you a discount on this. I'll give you this one for $300, and I'll give you this one for free. So if you'll invest in you, I'll invest in you. It's over $700 worth of stuff. You're going to get it for half price. Say thank you. You could at least be grateful. It's half price. They're back there. And like I said, it's not for everybody, but I think there's like 30 or something of them left. And those people, you know, that like to invest in themselves, just tell them you're like me. I want the whole enchilada. Just give me the whole table, and they'll give you both those programs, and I believe they'll really, really help you. The last letter C is, and I love this one. I learned this one years ago. 18 years ago, my wife and I lived in a little government-assisted apartment. Little Section 8 housing. We didn't have a bed, had a little air mattress. Didn't have a dining room table and chairs. We had one little car, a little Geo Storm. Remember those little Geo Storm? I'm a pretty big guy. You should see me trying to get in a Geo Storm. And then our driver's door got stuck. I had to crawl through a Geo Storm. I mean, that's where we were 18 years ago. And we got a hold of this principle here of what I put down as C, consistently give. consistently give. I grew up in church. We learned about tithing, you know. They scared us. You better pay your tithe or God will kill you. We didn't learn the joy of giving or the spirit of generosity. Or we went to kids' church. They taught us songs when we were kids, you know. God will take it out of your hide if you don't pay your tithe. You know, we didn't learn the joy of giving. Here's what the Bible says. It says, the word of the generous. How many like giving? Let me see your hand again. Yeah, it says the word of the generous gets larger and larger. The word of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And now when I'm thinking about generous, I mean, I want to be generous with my words. I want to be generous with kindness. I want to be generous. I think giving is the most fun you could have with your money. I love giving. There's nothing I love more than leaving a waitress a nice big tip and then going outside and peeking in the window and seeing what happens when she opens it up. Yeah, I do that. I'm like, ooh, she likes that. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. God blesses us to be a blessing. I was sitting next to a lady at Taco Bell the other day, planning a birthday party with her little boy. Me and my little boy were sitting there, and the kid was maybe 9 or 10 years old. He wanted to bring 12 friends to his party, and she said, you can only bring 10. He said, but I got 12 friends. She said, I can't afford enough pizza for 12. I can only afford enough pizza for 10. I'm sitting right next to him. They're starting to get upset with each other, and he don't understand pizza slices, and she's a mom. She wants him to have all of his friends, and she just can't afford it, and I'm sitting next to him thinking, I'm a Christian. I should help. I should do something. What would a good Christian do if they heard about a need like this? And I thought, well, I'm going to offer to pray for them. That's what a good Christian would do. We'll be praying for you. Then I'm like, why am I praying for when God's already given me the ability to solve the problem? I don't need to pray. I have $100 in my pocket. God's blessed me to be a blessing. When God blesses you, he's got a lot more than you in mind. I walked over to the table. I said, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you. I wasn't eavesdropping on your conversation. I was just listening to it. Heard about the party. Look, here's $100. Invite those other two friends, and you guys just have a great party. God bless you. And I just walked out because it wasn't about me. I didn't like, hey, here's $100. And I don't know if you know who I am. Here's my card. Check out my website and make sure to follow me on Instagram. By the way, follow me on Instagram. At Dr. Dave Martin. But I just walked out. She's looking like, who was that guy? I'm sure she told her friends. I'm sitting in Taco Bell, and this big, bald angel showed up with $100. We're blessed. Say that. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. When you begin to understand that, you begin to look for ways to be a blessing. Talk about in God we trust. If I want to put God first place, one of the ways to trust him is with my finances. I think our generosity and our giving, tithing is really the building block of trust. Because tithing's not about money. God doesn't need your money. It's not like God's pacing heaven today going, oh, I hope Dave tithes. Oh, we just bought new robes for all the angels. It's going to be so much to do up here. God doesn't need my money. It's not about money. Tithing is really about trust. It's not a money test. It's a trust test. When I tithe, all I'm saying is, God, I trust you. Now, tithe, the word tithe means tenth. It's not a Bible word. It's a math word. You can't change it. It means tenth. It doesn't mean fifth. Doesn't mean 5%. That'd be give God a five. He said, bring a tenth. First of all your increase, 10% of all your increase, you bring it back to me. Now, most Christians, they say the average Christian only gives about 3%. But the Bible set it up. If we really, how many believe the Bible? Let me see your hand again if you believe the Bible. Yeah, less people now. We either believe it or you don't believe it. And he said, look, if you'll honor me with 10%, I'll open up heaven, pour out blessings on you, and you won't be able to receive it. I kind of looked, have you ever had a window that wouldn't stay open? You had to put a book in it or a stick or something to keep it open. We had a window like that growing up. If we opened it, as soon as we let go, it slammed shut. We had to put a stick in it. I think what tithing is like the stick in the window. It keeps the windows of heaven open. How many want to keep the windows of heaven open over your life? So by consistently honoring God, it keeps the windows of heaven so he can pour out blessings on you. You don't have room enough to receive. Two of the hardest times to tithe, one is when you're broke and one is when you got a lot. If you get $10, it's easy to give a dollar out of 10. If I have a $10 bill, to give $1, no problem. When it gets up to 10,000, I got to give you think God needs all that? 1,000? I mean, I'm sure he'd be fine with 500. We'll split it, God. But when you understand it's all his anyway, this whole thing is not about the money. It's about It's about the trust. I love what John D. Rockefeller said. He said, I would have never been able to tithe on my first million I made if I had not tithed on my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. It's like this. Here's your pie, right? Your income. Every one of us get our income every week, every 2 weeks, once a month, however you get paid, and you got your pie. Now, what you do with that pie, you can look on the bank, on my bank statement, it shows a pie like this, and it shows this how much went to utilities, and this how much went to restaurants, and it shows me that. And so I've got my pie, and every one of us, when we get our check, we get our pie, we've got to divvy that up. Now, here's the thing. Some people's pies are bigger, some are smaller, but it's all a pie, and it's all got to be divvied up, right? And so we take it, and the first thing, of course, we got is our mortgage, house payment, could be our rent payment, whatever that may be. And that's a pretty big chunk of the pie. You know, it's a pretty big, because you got your electric and your utilities and all that kind of stuff, insurance and all that. And so we take that big part and we give it to the rent, to the mortgage, whatever it may be. And then you got your car payment. Can't forget about that. Oh, wait, my wife's got a car too. Yep, got a car, got insurance, got gas, got to take care of all that kind of stuff. And I got kids, extracurricular activities, school, all the stuff they got to do. Got to take care of that. What else do I got? Oh, I got my groceries. Got to eat. We go to a restaurant every now and then too. So I gotta do that. My cell phone. Can't live without my cell phone. Call me on my cell phone. Got my cell phone. Gotta take care of that. What else do I got to do? I want to save a little because we want to do that vacation. Got that. I'm the one that worked. I'm the one that did all this work. I got to enjoy myself a little bit. Yeah, I got to go to the movies and enjoy life. Don't want to miss out life, you know. And so got all that, got all my bills taken care of. Oh, we got to go to church. We're at church. We got to give God his. Got to give God his. Hold on. We got to make sure we got something to give to God. All right. And so we come to church and we, here you go, God. Thank you for blessing me. You've been so good to me this week. I just want to honor you by bringing this back to you, Lord. I care and I'm giving. And that's what happens is when we live like this, that's a really selfish life. Really selfish, because what we did is we took care of all of our stuff first and then we gave God what was left. But that's not what he said. He said in here, I love what he said in Proverbs. He said, in everything you do, put God first. He said, bring the first of your increase. And if you do that, he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. How many want God to crown your efforts with success? So if you want God to get involved, the way to do that would be to bring him his first. Not the crumbs that are left. He didn't say, hey, bring to me the last of your increase, the crumbs that you have. No, he said, bring me mine first. So what I do now, this is the way that you live by faith. That's the selfish life. The faith life is saying, God, I put you first. So I get my check, and the first thing I do is say, God, 10% of that belongs to you. Because I wouldn't have anything if you didn't give it to me. Everything I've got came from you. The fact that I woke up this morning, I could breathe, was because of you. And so I bring God his 10%. Now, here's my pie. I've taken my 10%, I give it to God. I still have all these bills and all these things in myself and all that I want to do, but now what I've done is I said, God, you've got yours first, and now my other 90%, here's what happens. It becomes everything I have from now on begins with God, and it ends with God. So now God's the center of everything else that I do. In God, I trust. And now here's what I found. Over 18 years, my wife and I found that God can do more with the 90% than I ever could with the 100%. That God's blessing on my 90%. How many would rather have God's blessing on your 90% than try to figure it all out on your own with 100%? And so what God does is God begins to bless the 90%. And I love that because, man, there's nothing like a good blessing. That's what it looks like when God starts blessing your 90%. Man, he puts his blessing all over that 90%, and he doesn't even mind you being blessed a little bit. The blessing of the Lord. Make it one fat. Some people got a temple of the Holy Spirit. I got a mega church right here. But God begins to bless that. And then what happens is the blessings begin to flow. And as they flow, man, they just start overflowing. Look, and then they fall out. Now I've got my 90% that's blessed. I take care of all my bills. There's my tithe. And my tithe has a little extra on it. So now I got farther, faster. I can go over and above my tithe. I got extra blessings. Now I'm able to be a blessing to others, be a blessing to the house of God, be a blessing to grow in the church. And that's God's plan for your life. Or do you want to live a selfish life, trying to figure out how to do it on your own? Or do you want to live a faith-filled life with God's blessing on what you have left? I'd much rather live my life. 18 years ago in that little apartment, someone challenged us to do that, and we've done it now for 18 years. They said, hey, try this. Try tithing. Try bringing 10% of your increase. Try doing what the Bible said. See if God's telling the truth. Because if God's not telling the truth, I mean, you want to find out now, don't you? You don't want to get up to heaven and it's like, oh, man, he tricked us. This is a motel. I want to know if he's telling the truth. So I honor him by bringing that first part back to him. His blessing comes on the rest. And in that choice, in that minute, I've decided that in God we trust. We either believe the Bible or we don't. We either trust him or we don't. What's amazing is how we can trust him with our life, but we have a hard time trusting with our finances. Let me just pray for you real quick before we go today. Those are pretty simple, A, B, C, pretty simple, nothing big in that, but just some powerful principles I believe if we'll put to practice, some things I put in my life that have really caused the blessings of God. Putting God first caused him to crown my efforts with success. And I believe God wants to do the same thing for you. I want to pray two prayers while your heads are bowed. Not going to take long. I'm going to pray two prayers. First one is if you're here and you've never made a decision to put God first place in your life, to trust him with your life, you have an opportunity to do that today. God loved you so much, you personally, that he was willing to give his very best just for you, his only son. If you're here and you've never received that gift, Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus into your life before, but you say today, Dave, I realize something's missing. And I believe that's what it is. Maybe you're here and you've asked Jesus into your life before, but you'd say today, you know what, Dave, I'm just not at peace with God. I've allowed other things to come ahead of my relationship with God. And I put my trust in some other things instead of God. But today I realize, you know what? I need to put God back where he belongs. Not just first in my finances, but first in everything. You say, Dave, that's me. God's dealing with my heart today. Either number one, you've never made the decision to put God first, to receive that gift and ask Jesus into your life. You want to do that today. Or you've done it in the past, but today you're not at peace with God, but you want to be. You want to put God back the first place in your life. When I count to three, just real quick, lift your hand before I pray this prayer because I want to remember you when I pray it. Across this room, one, two, three. Let me see your hands real quick, all across the room. Hands all across the room. Well, Father, I thank you for these hands all across the room in every section. Lord, I thank you that you don't just give us a desire to change, but you give us the discipline to make the changes that we need to make. You don't condemn us, but you do convict us. You show us things we need to change. But Lord, you said it's as simple as this. If we'd believe in our heart and say with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, we'd be saved. Saved means we'd be safe. I want everyone in this room to say those words with me. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. We'll give you some more instructions on how you can continue to grow in that relationship with God. But one other thing while your heads are bowed, the last just few minutes of the message there, I kind of did this illustration with the pies, and that was about putting God first in our finances, trusting God in that area. And I told you 18 years ago, my wife and I made a decision to trust God, to put God first in that area of our life. And here we are, we tried it 10% for 10 months. In that little government-assisted apartment, 18 years later, I can tell you, we've not missed a month. We found that God was true to do what he said he would do. If he said it in the Bible, he meant what he said, and he challenged us. He said, trust me, prove me, try it and see. And I would encourage you, if you've never tried it before, give God 10%. Try it for 10 months. If it doesn't work, quit doing it. Then at least you'll know God doesn't tell the truth. But hey, what if it does work? I believe you'll be like me 18 years from now. You'll be telling your children, hey, here's what we decide to do. And I'm telling you, God's word works. When you'll trust him in your finances, he has blessed our family because we've made that decision. Maybe you've never tried it before, or maybe you've just been inconsistent. It's not that you don't love God. It's not that you never give anything, but you haven't been faithful with honoring him with that first part, saying, God, I'm putting you first. And today you say, Dave, I'm making that decision. I'm going to put God first in my life. One last prayer I'm going to pray over your life. If that's you, again, the Holy Spirit, he won't condemn you, but he may be convicting you. And you say, Dave, I'm going to take your challenge. I'm going to take God's challenge in Malachi to trust him. I'm going to try this 10% for 10 months. I'm going to put God first in my finances in every area. I'm making a decision today to do that. Real quick, I just want to pray a prayer over your life. When I count to three, if that's you, that God's speaking to your heart about this area of your finances and trusting him more and honoring him with the first part, I want you to lift your hand so I can pray for you. One, two, three. One more time. Let me see your hands across this room. Oh, Father, I thank you for the hands that were lifted. Say, God, I'm going to take this challenge. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. And Father, I thank you. Like I said, just like me, 18 years from now, they'll be saying, wow, I gave it a shot. I tried it. I'm telling you, 18 years ago, I did it for 10 months and I never quit because I found out God was faithful and blessed my 90% more by honoring him than I ever could have trying it on my own. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One more time, say this with me. Say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Pastor gonna come give you some more instructions. We talked about another shot. I'd encourage you to grab that stuff, but here, another shot, a comeback. If you lifted your hand and said, you know what, I'm gonna put God first in my life, I can't think of any greater comeback you could make than to come back to church here next Sunday. Begin to plug yourself into the house of God and watch what God will do in your life and in your family. Amen. Thanks. God bless you guys.